Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I am super excited to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Jennifer Langston Justice. She is in Kansas City, Missouri. Jennifer, say hello to all the awesome listeners.
Hello, awesome listeners.
And I have to tell y'all, I knew Jennifer on the internet before I met her in real life, and then we met at a senior citizen center, which is still one of my favorite places I've ever taught a class, because that was the nicest senior center ever. Wouldn't you agree?
It's a pretty nice senior center that comes with a nice price tag too, though.
Well, you know, the old people do have the money. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the ground rules of the podcast before you share your story. No F-bombs or GDs, because I am allergic to those two particular words. And if there are people that are guilty in your story, don't name names so that only they can identify their guilty selves. So with that being said, do tell.
Well, this story, I'm licensed in Missouri and Kansas. This story pertains to something that happened in Kansas on an incarcerated listing, if you will. So my
The listing was in jail, the seller was in jail, the buyer was in jail. Who was in jail?
The seller, we found out along the way, was in jail, which makes this quite complex, as it turns out, to get documents signed, et cetera, which kind of ends where, you know, our story will go, but showed clients a home. It was a 1900s farmhouse, needs a ton of work. We're pursuing renovation type of loans on this property. And lo and behold, in trying to get all of this ironed out, we find out that the seller is in fact incarcerated. And this was not any regular listing. I know, Lee, you sell a lot of trailers, double wides, you don't discriminate. This, in my 20 years of real estate, probably has to be one of the worst condition homes I have ever seen. But these people, they have the heart, the soul, they want to turn this thing into a beauty. And so we proceed down the path of, you know, offering, getting things accepted, all of that kind of stuff. And we start out with a conventional renovation loan, which I don't know if everybody in the world knows this is different than a 203K.
So we do have listeners that are consumers. So give them a quick down and dirty for what you mean there.
So by renovation loan, I mean that this loan is going to enable the buyer to be able to finance into their purchase what they envision for the home. Conventional version would mean like 5% down, not government backed. And then 203K means more of the government backed version of that, which may have different underlying criteria that the buyer may have to meet or may not have to meet. Is that a good summary?
Absolutely.
All right, perfect. So we are on this path. We go down the road. It takes quite a while to get the offer accepted. And like I said, we were originally on the side of the conventional renovation loan. Well, in the process, we discover that we're going to have to go a different direction on that. And let's just say that maybe the listing agent wasn't forthcoming about the seller's original state of incarceration. So,
well, you know, it's hard to disclose that. We don't usually get asked the question of, is your seller in jail or not?
And as a rule, you know, and a lot of my clients have done this, and it's probably becoming more of a thing, but my buyers have started Facebook stalking or Google stalking these sellers to find out who they're buying a home from.
You know, and it's not a bad idea.
It is a great idea, as a matter of fact, so you know who you're dealing with. Because if you know who you're dealing with, don't you have a little bit of an upper hand maybe, or you can be better educated about your situation for your buyer? So I think it's a great idea, and I've put it into practice a little bit more. But we kind of find out some information because my buyers do a little bit of homework, if you will, and they start asking me some questions. I said, why are you asking me these questions? Well, we're concerned the reason we're not getting these documents back. And I'm like, I'm on the agent forum, you know, like in a normal texting, and I'm not getting a lot of responses. Well, then he does come up with, well, I've conversed with her attorney. She is, in fact, incarcerated. And he said, you know, just like you disclosed, Lee, why we could not originally tell you this, because it is not in the best interest of my seller, and I had to have permission to tell you that. Okay, I understand it. Well, this goes on to where the attorney is now signing documents. And there's another document that says that the attorney is authorized to sign documents for this particular client, like a power of attorney, more or less. And so we get all of the documents signed. And like I said, we need to, at some point, go into the 203K instead of the conventional, basically due to the fact that there may be some structural issues with this 1900s farm. So we get the signed document. We're going to convert this and everything else. Well, in the process, of course this happens, they get a higher backup offer.
Of course.
So this listing agent is bound and determined to do everything in his power to throw our offer out. And not only that, I do find that he is duly representing on this. So he has solicited this. So we fought through this. And like I said, I've been practicing real estate now for some time. And this is, you know, uncharted waters for me a little bit. And what ends up happening is that they basically say that that power of attorney was not valid during the dates that the 203K amendment was signed, and they disallow it and they kick us out.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense, but what do you do? I mean, we go along this path. This is why it's crazy stuff, right? Because you would think that lock, stock, and barrel, we could have counted on that we were getting this house. We could convert it to the 203K, and this would not be a problem. And I had this in an email from the listing agent that this would not be a problem. I had this other person's information and stuff saying it wouldn't be a problem, and I had his verbal that it would not be a problem. So in my mind, I feel like this is lock, stock, and barrel. I don't have a problem here. Yeah, I did. I did. And back to looking at the code of ethics and everything else, they did something unethical, but to complete this and actually get an article that spells this out very well is very gray. It's a very gray area. And so I was left with basically, which I'm of the person that believes everything happens for a reason, but this is one of the craziest things that I've seen in my career. Number one, dealing with somebody I feel like is so unethical in this industry. I mean, you just don't run into that all the time, fortunately for us. And number two, the fact that I could not rely on this and couldn't find a code to call this person on because I feel like they had really done us wrong. Now, we did end up being able to find these people what probably was a lot less work for them and a better deal, but that's one of the craziest things I've ever had happen to me as far as in the transaction and from the other side, because I don't treat people like that, and I wouldn't expect to be treated like that, but you know, it's crazy to me that something could go so far one direction, you know, and not...
Something as obscure as dates on a power of attorney. That's really bizarre.
I agree 100%. And I mean, just to the seller being incarcerated, I mean, the whole big ball was so... When you put this out there, hey, I'm looking for your crazy stuff. I'm like, oh, this was crazy. This was really crazy. And I mean, I see crazy stuff all the time, but that probably was one of the most crazy and disheartening things that I've ever had in my career, just because I felt like, how could this have happened to my clients? I really wanted this for them. They had a vision, but like I said, it all did work out, but it was crazy. And not being able to clearly be able to cite an article to try and hold this person more accountable. Not that I want to go around doing that, because that's not what I choose to do. I just choose to do right by my people and right forward, you know, by others, but it was nuts. It was totally nuts.
But so, you know, it is crazy. We are a self-policing industry. And so I think a lot of consumers actually don't understand that when a realtor goes sideways and does violate the code of ethics, the only way they get in trouble is if we file and do a complaint. Nobody's going to do anything about it otherwise. And
that's
great.
That's not what we're in business to do. You know, I'm not in business to, but that was so wrong. I actually did take the time to look at it, but it's a very difficult path to walk to look at that stuff, you know? And like I said, luckily it was a win. We were able to go a different direction and win, but to see something like that, I mean, it's crazy that that can still happen in this day and time. And it's crazy there's people out there that will do that to us. Wish it wasn't the case, but, you know, it's something that we deal with in real life every day. So, like I said, what we try and do is walk the walk, talk the talk, and do the right thing for our people, try and hold people accountable to that higher standard that we believe people should have.
So has this changed anything in your business practices? Do you now do what your buyers were doing and stalk buyers and sellers on the other side of a deal to see what you're dealing with?
Absolutely.
So now you ask, is your client in jail or not?
I have not had another side where someone or the other has been in jail, fortunately. Maybe that should be a disqualifier. I don't know. But no, it's just, it has changed my perspective a little bit and being also a little more cautious on the listing agent side and doing maybe a little more due diligence on the front side to set better upfront contracts, if you will, especially if you're doing a renovation or a 203K, that we have a clearer end path, because I would have never thought that would have happened to us. But hey, you need to be aware that these things can happen. And especially with renovation loans, that things can come up that we don't anticipate. This is not our normal transaction, obviously. That's why this is crazy. But seeing all this stuff has just made me a little more aware, even in 20 years, that, hey, we need to maybe do a little more research and figure things out. And maybe even say, you know, the power of attorney on this is not my first choice. Is there another way? That's the other thing I've gone to is really, can we try and do something else? Is there something I could do for this transaction to help this?
And that's what professionals do. We find mistakes that happen out there or things we didn't know about, and you spin it into a benefit for the next consumer so that maybe they don't get surprised, so that we can get surprised by something different the next tomorrow.
Hopefully a happier surprise.
So, Jennifer, if anybody is looking to buy or sell, and actually now that you've said you're in Missouri and Kansas, in Casey, Kansas, or Casey Mo, how can they find this awesome professional realtor who knows how to deal with incarcerated sellers and has an extra viewpoint on stalking of people these days?
Well, I am still of the old-fashioned mindset of developing those personal relationships, and I still believe the best way to do that is by telephone, because it still does talk to people. I know that's odd for many people, but I will do whatever the client likes. My phone number is 816-405-2439. For those techie folks out there, they can always visit my website. It's www.dreamhomes.com, and they can find all of the information about Kansas and Missouri that they would like to find, as well as contact me if they'd like to contact me through those methods. It also will send direct to my email, like most wonderful websites do these days. So any of those methods are fine. I cater to what we need these days.
All right. So all of Jennifer's contact information will be in the show notes for this episode if you are listening to this while you're out driving around or huffing away on the treadmill, so you can reach out to her for any of your questions. Jennifer, thank you for being on the show and telling us about some of the crazy stuff that happens that actually is disheartening, but the pros in the world, how we learn from it and roll on, and ultimately the clients are still very, very happy and protected.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Lee.
And if you're listening and you're a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or even just a regular old consumer who has your own story about some crazy shit in real estate that you'd like to share, send me a message and I will feature you on the show. And as always, you can tweet me at Lee Brown. And thank you for listening. Subscribe for more episodes. And remember, real estate is not for the faint of heart. We'll see you next time. For joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.